Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.
Welcome everyone to a very special episode of Brainstorm Brew. We're here finally at episode 100. I know it's been a long journey. You had to deal with 99.5 and 99.9, but we are here. We made it. We are here at the promised land, and believe me, the wait is worth it.
I think the title of this episode should be episode 102.
Hot Route.
So where does this fall on the scale of very special? As like, you know, is this like, cool, I found $20 in my pocket very special? Or is this like, we bagged a huge guest very special?
This is the best podcast that we'll have ever recorded to date will be this episode.
If we ever get it recorded.
Exactly.
No, people are listening right now. They know we've gotten it recorded.
Is it better than the Bud Light Lime?
Do they?
Oh.
Yes. Snap yes.
Oh, and actually, this is episode 100. It's not episode 102 like people would think, because we had a set review, and it was two episodes. We labeled it two different episodes, and episode 99.5 is just a repeat, so that's not really an episode in there. So this is...
Oh, boom.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Marcel.
Did the math.
The semantics.
I also feel like at some point we probably, because of Corbin's great ability to copy-paste the show notes from last week, at some point we probably just did a... two episodes in a row before we got into GM.
I really think that's someone awesome. Would not have brought that to our attention.
Before we got on GM.
We have in our fan base, somebody would have noticed, and they would have brought it to our attention, and they would have gotten an erection by pointing it out that we were wrong.
I don't think you know our fan base. They wouldn't have contacted us unless they could... Well, I guess they could make fun of us about that, but...
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, we probably would have got contacted about that.
Oh,
you're right.
I've been supposed to take your finance advice about how much a price of a card is, but you guys can't count to 37. Yeah, absolutely, that would be the comment. And
well,
they
wouldn't be wrong, so...
They wouldn't be wrong, that is correct there.
You're not wrong, Walter, you're just an asshole.
Let's do an ugly segue into...
Into ugly segues?
Pointing out the ugly segues are a hallmark of this cast. That's something we've been doing for 100 episodes now.
Yes, we have, and I subscribe to the Tong School of Segues. He's from Monday Night Magic, and he's Magic Potpourri, and his segues are thus the worst. And I subscribe completely to his entire philosophy of you got to make the segues as bad as possible. The better it's like B-movies, you know, the worse they are, the better they are.
Okay, so that was Tommy Wiseau's The Room of Segues.
Got it.
Ouch.
You're tearing me apart, segue!
So moving in, so this is how we're going to do the episode. We're going to try to go chronologically down our birth and whatever happened, our history.
I think the words are our greatest hits, right?
It's gonna be
at least the slightly less bad ones.
I wouldn't call them all hits. I mean, some of them are pretty well just slights against us. But we know how to laugh at ourselves, so this will be proof of that at the very least.
We know how to laugh at each other. I don't know about laughing at ourselves.
I'm good at laughing at myself. I mean, Jason, you're pretty much the only one that really gets like butthurt when we make jokes about you. Make the best jokes.
Stop talking about me right now, you bunch of cocks. Is that too meta for everybody?
Too meta. So let's jump into this. So we're going to talk about first the beginning of Brainstorm Brewery, how it came about, and it was an initial thought that I had. I wanted to do a podcast because I was on Monday Night Magic, and Tom, he had to retire because he had his kids, and so there was a shifting of the guards, and I wasn't necessarily as involved during the shifting, and then I got back in, and then I was told by Chewy, oh, yeah, you ever want to be a guest on here, you can anytime. Come back on Monday Night Magic, and I kind of was like, whoa, this is my home, and now I could be a guest, so... I felt slighted, so I was like, I had to do a podcast. get something going. And, so I put it out there that I want to do a finance, a brewery podcast, and, Oreo Corporation, Arthur Padita. He said, oh, I know about, Ryan Bushard and Corbin the Hustler. You should check them out. They would be perfect for the podcast. So, yeah, so I tweeted at, these two guys, and we exchanged talks. We were like, yeah, let's do this. Let's make this happen. We were excited. Came up with the Brainstorm Brewery on some back and forth. Shout out to MTG Brainstorm because we were like, oh, there's going to be some conflict with the name. Hit him up. He was like, oh, not a problem. So we ran with that, did Brainstorm Brewery, and actually pretty excited. And Inkwell Looter, he was the guy that did our logo. So if you like our logo, check him out, Inkwell Looter. Hit him up early on, I believe it was episode 2 or 3, and we got him to do the logo.
And we had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a whole different story from me and Corbin's perspective, which was like, I don't know if it was like a year earlier prior to it, but it was probably a couple of months anyway. It had been put on the shelf.
It was ongoing, yeah.
Yeah, and like, me and you had talked about something with some other people, and then, like, nothing just happened of it, because me and you know nothing about the whole podcasting. I mean, I still know nothing about recording.
Well, yeah, my deal was, like, I mean, and I actually do have the ability to edit sound and video and audio and all that. I just didn't have the time to commit to it every week, so Marcel was a godsend.
Yeah, and so, like, as soon as Marcel was like, I know how to do all these things, like, it gave us that outlet to, you know, do the part of it that we know best, and at the same time not have to worry about the part that we would just make sound terrible. Because I had been on a podcast before, actually, that never got released, and the sound quality and just the editing made it sound awful. Like, I was very glad it never made it out there, honestly.
Well, speaking of sound quality, 100 episodes in, I have a new mic.
Oh, yes. He actually has a mic. That's why Corbin sounds so good. You're not going to hear no keyboard typing. You'll still hear the clinking of the bowl. So, yay to Corbin.
True. I suppose after we started getting rolling, then, we kind of were picking up steam, got a couple of guests, and don't remember what episode I brought Jason on the first time, but
10.
He wanted
10.
To. Yeah, what was that? What, I was crashing at your place or something, and happened to have to record that night.
How many times have we told this story? We were doing a road trip to GP Minneapolis. We did a 1 week shop crawl to GP Minneapolis. We were in the hotel for the night. Ryan's like, "Oh, I got to record the podcast." Jason, how would you like to sit in? You can talk about what we're doing on this road trip. So that was sort of like the excuse to get me on was, hey, why don't you talk a little bit about the shop crawl and, you know, talk about just getting started in finance? Because I'd been doing it for less than a year at that point.
And Jason was super humble when he got on. It's not the normal Jason that you know.
I thought it was a bigger deal than it was. I was really impressed that Ryan was on a podcast, and it wasn't until I got actually on and started recording the cast that I realized that it was not a big deal at all.
Yeah. I mean, it is a big deal, though, obviously. Like, we made it to episode 100. Clearly people are listening. We may not feel like it's a big deal, but somebody out there
must. It's like 2 years of our lives at this point. So, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird for as few times as we've met each other, but I mean, we definitely know each other quite well from podcasting.
And if you told me in that hotel room when I was recording the podcast that, you know, 2 years later we would have merchandise and a contact website and, you know, a top rated podcast and all this stuff, like, I would have been like, yeah, I don't know. This seems kind of like something I'll do on a whim. Like, I didn't really anticipate devoting as much of myself to this, but it's been a great ride. I'm glad we did it.
Yep.
Well, we even made the brewery part work because we moved away from deck brewing, but we do in fact have our own Brainstorm Brewery beer at this point. So
had being the key there.
We need to have more made, but yeah.
Shout out to Motika and Slick Jagger. They're behind the Black IPA that debuted at GP Montreal. It was a hit. We're going to get another one going. It's just a lot more work than we thought it was going to be to get this going. So be patient with us. We got other things we got to do, people. So Jason was a hit, though. People love Jason. He got on the cast. He was just a rude, crude dude with attitude. And people like Jason, and they like Jason and his impressions. That's the thing Jason was known for. That's what Brian touted about. So we're going to play a couple of Jason impressions here for you guys. You can check it out. See how Jason gets down.
Hey guys, this is Corbin Hustler. Tonight I'll be drinking a Surge over ice mixed with Bud Light Lime and listening to Bewitched.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the latest Brainstorm Brewery.
No, we're not. All
right. 0% chance. That's
no.
It. Fair enough. I gave it my shot. I'm going to go back to read.
Welcome everyone to a very special Brainstorm Brewery. This is a baby making podcast. You know what that means.
means you're going to be making some babies talking about the MTG Finance. We're joined by Jason Ault. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Jason. Hey, everybody, I'm Jason. Yeah, and I'm Marcel. And we got Ryan Bushard. Go ahead and say hi, Bushard. Say something, Bushard. Ain't no Bushard here. Fine, we're moving to the
Oh,
you guys are clowning around? You think this is a funny podcast? This is a serious finance podcast. We joined by Ray Future Pro, a.k.a. Raymond Perez, just won a PTQ. He's going to be going to Dublin. Say hello, Ray Perez.
Raymond motherfucking Perez.
Whoa, it's a PG-13 podcast.
You keep comparing
shit to a minimum.
So after months of listening to Jason do impressions of us that were not always the most flattering, we finally actually got everyone together so he could embarrass us in person at, I think it was Gen Con 2012.
Yeah, Gen Con 2012 was our first time that we got to actually see each other in person. Well, I'm sure you guys saw each other before, Jason and Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Jason for a number of years, and then I had met Corbin a couple of times at GPs and stuff. But we, I mean, by no means were, I mean, me and Jason were probably good friends by this point, but I don't think me and Corbin would have been.
Yeah, you were at my wedding 18 months before that, so I would say that we're good friends.
All right.
Before that.
You've been married that long? My goodness.
Yeah, it's been, it'll be 3 years in August.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yeah. So we're almost done. Yeah, 3 years.
I think that means I lose the bet.
You bet we would make it 3 years?
No, I bet she would. No, I bet she would murder you in the first 3 years.
That's true.
As you much still
as
got
you,
time.
As much as you're saying that now, you got drunk at my wedding. You came up to me. He's like, man, I can't imagine anybody else for either one of you.
Yeah, because she's the only person who can somehow just listen to you and not want to kill you sometimes. Like, she just deals with it. You threaten her with terrible things, and she just laughs.
That's what you need in your life. You gotta find your soulmate, and sometimes your soulmate is somebody who's willing to put up with your shit.
I think it's the fact that she turns into a 6-year-old when she gets drunk and you just become funny and she laughs at everything. I don't know.
What's that could be. But she wasn't invited to Gen Con 2012.
True.
Because Gen Con 2012 was very awesome. We finally got it to meet. Well, I got to meet you guys, and we came together as a cast, as a cohesive unit. But when I first saw Jason, I was like, who is this guy? I'm expecting a Mexican. Because I remember when Jason first got into cast, he said, my middle name is Eduardo. For some reason, I was expecting a Mexican guy. And I was like, this is not the Jason that I thought.
So he was looking at me askew. He's like, hey, who are you? And I was like, oh, I'm Ryan. And I couldn't tell if he believed me or not.
And of course, Jason was like, who is this white guy talking to me?
Right? I was like, I thought you'd be blacker, but I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, little known fact, Marcel is white.
Well, yes. You can't actually ask a guy why he's not black, it turns out.
Yes, you can. I get asked all the time. Oh, I thought you were black. Sorry to disappoint you.
You think you're disappointed now? Wait till you see my dick.
Well, we had the highlight. There were a couple highlights of Gen Con. One of them was that Marcel and I got to interview a lot of people. I mean, these videos are up on our YouTube page. If you guys, they're from 2 years ago, you probably missed them. But we interviewed Aaron Forsyth before Return to Ravnica came out. We interviewed Sheldon Minnery. We interviewed a whole bunch of people. And it was pretty cool stuff. So that was kind of the highlight for me. We also got to do the barbecue with our, you know, our group and some other people. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, barbecue was definitely a highlight.
Oh man, I forgot. That barbecue was, Mitt Romney could have got votes from us from that barbecue.
Yeah.
That's right, Jason was, yup.
Yeah, that was a good barbecue. I actually still have the grill we bought specially for that event. That was a good time.
Oh man.
And we had our first run of tokens there, right?
Yeah, that's when we had the Inkwell Looter tokens. He did the spirit tokens for us, and that they were awesome, even though we printed them on business card size, which wasn't awesome. But, you know, mistakes, you got it. It's a growing phase.
And they're alpha square-cornered collector's edition cards.
Yeah, that's it.
They're Chase.
I actually found one of those, like, in my closet the other day, one, like, falling on the floor. And I was like, oh, my God, I haven't seen one of these in, like, 2 years now. This is awesome. But, no, we definitely learned from that experience and have had really – well, those are – the art was awesome. And we learned how to make the tokens. And now we have, you know, an actual line of tokens. And it's pretty – they've been a lot of cool.
Yeah, shameless plug. Go to Brainstorm Brewery Amazon.com/store, and you can buy some tokens there. We'll send them to you. They're very awesome. We got some new ones in stock, so get them now. And so another thing at Gen Con that was probably one of our biggest surprises, we kept asking the people, you know, they say, oh, I heard your cast. I know your cast and your cast. I was like, well, you got any advice? What do you like about the cast? What you don't like about the cast? You know, what can we improve on? And hands down, we heard from at least like about 20 people, cut the brewing. Brewing's the worst part. I don't like hearing the brewing. It's like literally, it was like depressing because, you know, I wasn't necessarily the best finance person. And so I was like, oh, that's my only angle in this whole podcast. And we got to cut it. And cold hard facts that we realized that brewing is not our specialty and we just had to focus in on the finance.
Yeah. I mean, people can only hear about seance so many times before they're just done.
Yeah.
In fact, our brewing was so bad, we had, let's go into this clip. Check it out.
So like something with the contagion process, people can't really stop that. You're eventually going to get there. And then I even added a couple thrown of guests because it works with, works with your wellsprings and so forth. So I'll go ahead and just read off my list here.
Hold on. Is someone snoring? Brian snoring?
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely passed out.
No, I'm awake.
Jackass.
No, it's interesting.
That sums up our brewing right there.
No, that sums up your brewing.
Hey, that was actually a fun deck. That was a really good deck. The mono white artifact deck, I had a ton of fun with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Marcel and I had some good ones. We had some good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I had some in there too, but I think we all kind of realized that our deck bruiser may be left for ourselves.
Yeah.
But the cool part is now with like the influence we have and the, you know, fan base we have, if we post some random ridiculous idea online, people run away with it and there's 30 decks brewed before we can do anything about it anyway. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic we have now to influence brews just by talking about how we think cards are good.
Well, yeah, that way people can give them a try before they tell us we're idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have definitely spotted some idiot decks, and Orion is probably the forefront of five color. I've seen, I don't know what the hell you're trying to do. Oh, two different combos pulling from different angles.
I would like to point something out though. Okay, so that deck that I had for block at the beginning of the year that I was telling you was just insane, look at the Pro Tour decks. It's pretty much those decks.
I believe you. I'm not going to engage with this. This is how we started down that path.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, I'm actually pretty sure I had block figured out at the beginning of this year. Like, everyone else is running red-green monsters and mono-black, and I had this four-color contraption with Prognostic Sphinx. And, I mean, obviously there's, like, things added to it, like Kiora and stuff, but, like, I was running the Ashiok route and all that. So, like, I was pretty happy watching the Pro Tour. Like, it gave me a little more confidence as, like, my ability to look at a format and still figure out how to play it.
So this conversation began on, people really don't like it when we talk about deck brewing. And we kind of said, deck brewing, let's talk about why we don't do that.
This reminiscing isn't just for the fans. We get to reminisce a little too, and I kind of miss brewing, but we get why we don't do it. So,
yeah. Well, another person that agreed that the brewing was in our strong point was Adam Staborski from Gathering Magic. Ryan and Jason kind of flirted with him about us getting on to Gathering Magic. And so we had a sit-down talk with him via Skype. And he kind of laid out what we had to do to get ourselves up to par to be able to be on GM. And the brewing, he said, that definitely has to go. But a couple things that we picked up was the one-hour cast. He just felt like, you know, the 2 hours was too much and the 1 hour would be better suited for us. And we actually agree now after doing hours, I think is actually very perfect for us. And out of that talk, we also got pick of the week. He suggested a different segment beyond just what's it worth, and pick of the week became out of that. And also to get better mics because we had some really, really shitty mics.
Yeah. Well, for a while there, I had a good one, but it broke and then we were back to the bad one for a while. So.
Yeah, and then, I mean, we had to deal with your binder twine issues. I mean, I recorded from a potato for a while. Like we had many bad experiences with mics.
Yeah, the point of the matter is, don't buy a used mic. It may be cheaper, but that doesn't mean it's better. But speaking of bad mics, let's go into this clip here. You can just get a feel of how bad, you know, Ryan's mic actually was.
Not a problem. Yeah, any other time you could come back on, I'm sure he lets you in.
For sure.
Yep, you've got a better microphone than half of the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
I did podcast for a while, so I know how it goes.
can hear Ryan coughing into his Sony potato over there.
That's all right. At least you can't hear it very well.
And to be fair enough.
Just kidding.
It was the mouse that ate his microphone.
We are all upgrading our microphones. I'm actually pretty excited about us all having sweet mics here. So spoiler for everyone who's listening, there are improvements headed your way.
Right, Ryan will no longer sound like somebody on the BBC calling in from Islamabad.
That's fair.
Ring, 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 ring. Potato phone.
Well, yep.
Yeah, I finally broke down and got rid of that phone like 3 months ago. And I got a very interesting look from the guy at the store as to how did you make an original droid survive this long?
Well, and that's when we learned we could actually text Ryan, because we used to have a text group, and every time we texted him, he would just get mad at us because it was breaking his phone literally. To get
like
text.
Literally his phone would crash. Like, it's like loading five conversations from Corbin and Marcel and Jason, and his phone went,
In group text, it always sends SMS messages, and it wasn't able to download it as a group text. So I was getting individual texts from each one of you, but it was showing what everybody was saying three different times from three different people. And it would just like suddenly I'd have 70 new messages when you guys would type 10 things.
Oh,
and
my
phone would freak out and shut down.
That's so stupid. That's so dumb. Like, I can't.
The original droid does not have the capability to have a group text.
Great. Okay. So we got that fixed. Luckily, one thing we never quite got fixed was, what's it worth?
Yeah. What's it worth ended up being, what's it not worth?
I mean, it was fun.
It's not worth doing is what it's worth.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun, and I think it can be fun on occasion, but every week. Also, like, you know, and this is kind of an interesting way to look at it. 2 years ago, knowing what cards were worth offhand was probably more valuable than it was today. Because, like, I mean, look at Ryan's old droid phone. I mean, even 2 years ago, you could go to an event, and people would have to trade for memory because not from their phones because, you know, they didn't have good service. Now, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but now that's – you know, it's just really not a thing at all. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. So, I mean, some of the actual value to what's it worth, besides it just being a game, was kind of lost anyways. So,
yeah.
I must say, though, note yourself the convention centers in America. They have really bad reception because going in there and trading, I'm not even trying to scumbag anybody at this point. Like, I'm not who I used to be as a kid, but it's funny to watch people trade because it used to be everybody kind of knew some of their prices at least because they'd done some research. And yeah, you'd get them on some cards, but you really had to kind of play around and figure out what they didn't know. Now, if somebody doesn't have their phone, there's a good chance they don't know anything in their binder.
I don't know anything without my phone anymore.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. And I'm like, I knew what it was last week.
I used to be able to tell you like every card that changed within like a day, and I knew what everything was. And now I'm like, oh, I'll look that up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's perfect proof. So I think that's going to kind of, you know, it comes fully around, and there's definitely been times even in the past year where I've been at events and people just can't get phone reception and just like, well, I think this card was worth this. Yeah. And it's kind of funny to see that come back around on people now that they don't have to know prices at all.
All right. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of why one of the reasons why what's it worth died. So like I said, it's still like a, you know, that bring it out of the vault every now and then. But
yeah, we should. We definitely should. But pick of the week, we have a lot of fun with pick of the week. Yeah, everyone likes pick of the week. Like it's an all around hit. So, and also with an hour, we don't have enough time to necessarily do two segments every week and still fit in a full podcast. So something had to go.
Yeah.
Sorry, what's it worth? You got the job. So, yep. I mean, our fans give us a lot of good feedback, and you know, our fans said, "Hey, keep pick of the week, do it more, get rid of what's it worth." But you know, our fans give us a little bit more of a contribution than that. So we have some really talented fans in our fan base. For example, the bumper music for Pick of the Week was orchestrated by a listener named Steve Wolf.
And it's awesome.
It's time for the Pick of the
Yes, it is. We got this. Hey, Steve, if you're still around, give us another one. That's cool. And then we also have some weird fans as well. You know,
who we still appreciate.
We don't have anything against that, you know, and we will read your letter on air for the most part, as long as it's not too weird. So don't send us
any crazy
stuff.
Please don't find my address.
The weirder, the better. That's what I say. Bring on. It's more fun that way.
You're from Oklahoma. That's why you say that.
We really appreciate your enthusiasm. And some of our most enthusiastic email writers have turned into some of our best website writers.
Sanders Vandersee.
Vandersee was our earliest and most zealous email writing fan. And that's really worked out for us when we gave him a different outlet. So, yeah, we really appreciate everyone's enthusiasm.
So let's go to this letter by Conley Razor. This is one of the weirder ones.
I've listened to your podcast for the last few months, and I'm happy with life so far. Sometimes I like to cry in the shower, fully clothed in the fetal position. That only happens when your podcast does not come on, usually during hot days. I have a framed picture of myself and my dead cat of 10 years. The cat was already dead in the picture. I hope I creeped you all out a little, because of this is facetious anyway. Love the show, though. P.S. I do not own a cat.
Yeah, that's definitely a weird one. All right.
I appreciate the feedback. So we also, that's a good one. Ryan gets some nice mail himself sometimes.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote in, cause I made some offhanded comment about like something dumb that you had said, just teasing you.
Oh,
and one of our listeners like, yeah, you know what? Ryan is totally worthless.
Yeah,
true.
I never looked at it that way. He actually is garbage on a stick. So he wrote in, he's like, yeah, you guys could probably lose.
So let's listen to exactly how that played out.
Hey everybody. Ryan told me that I'm gonna replace him tonight, so I'll be doing half of the cast in my voice and half the cast in his voice.
That's right. I don't think the Shocklands will be in Ravnica at all.
Yeah, if you just say really, really dumb theories and perpetuate them with flawed logic, I think you have Ryan's up covered.
Sure, but like anyway, you were impersonating me or something like that the like 2 weeks ago, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something about like how like every call I made was like goofy and all this other stuff. But you know, you were joking around, and I got that. You know, I was playing around with it on Twitter and just like, you know, what an ass. But I got an email from a guy who was like, oh man, well, I didn't realize you were like the joke of the financial community or something like that. And like just went on to tell me like how he didn't realize that, you know, the show was a joke and that, you know, like we were getting people on there who are like that I was on there just to, you know, to have fun with it and that I didn't really know financial stuff. And I was just like, man, this guy tore into me for no reason. But yeah. Please keep civil comments. I mean, I just laughed at it. Didn't really care too much. But Jason has also decided now that he has the ability to name anyone in the Magic community a joke or laughing stock. And so he's going to be utilizing this ability to get people kicked out of the financial or Magic community in general.
Yeah, I didn't realize that when Ryan got that email, it was a revelation for me that I'm actually the kingmaker now of the financial community, and I will be naming one person per week with a joke. And the lucky winner this week is Corbin Horsler. Congratulations. You are now the laughing stock of the financial community.
And say my name, right?
And the crowd goes wild.
I like how Corbin's response is, you didn't say his name.
You didn't say my name right. Okay, then it doesn't count. I didn't say your name right, so.
It's true.
It's Hostler.
Is that right?
It's true.
I think so.
That is correct.
I'm not sure about that. I'll get back to you.
You might have an expert opinion on that.
I mean, what Jason says goes, I guess. That seems to be the way it works now. So I guess
it's worse now, so go to the Secretary of State and get that fixed on your
We need to consult the other professional. What's Medina say about this?
Is that Horsler or is it Hostler? John, is it Horsler?
It doesn't look positive.
Bad.
So it's possible. Just made a mistake.
It's possible, yeah. One time I won an award that actually had Hustler on it. Corbin Hustler. Like on plaque. That was, I kept it. I got a replacement, obviously, so I could actually put something on my, like, thing at work or whatever, but I definitely kept the original. It's awesome.
So when Corbin's not being the joke of the finance community, he's up to some other stuff on the podcast that, some of our best running gags that you've come to know and love. Here's a little bit of a look at what Corbin has brought to the table.
Yes, Corbin is known for the most hashtags out of anybody, and we got quite a few here. What was it? B-dubs, okay, prep, shut up, Corbin, four merfolks, And of course, the best and the one that we wish we recorded was the Revised Duels.
It's not Revised Duels, Revised Power.
I think it was Revised Power, but
it was Revised Power.
This wasn't a thing. This was me, like, literally just saying the wrong word one time, and you guys just going crazy.
No, it was so funny.
It was like,
I gave you multiple outs, and I even asked you, are you sure, Corbin? Revised Power? Said, yeah, that's Revised Power.
That's not true. I said I had the wrong word in my head. I was probably eating some ice cream and
you
some
You corrected yourself shortly after that, but you definitely fucked your Revised Power.
He's like, Corbin, we're going to do you a big favor, and we're never going to play that clip on After Hours, because you will lose your writing career if anyone hears you say revised.
I accidentally said revised. Yep, that's it. My bad. I'm sorry I said it on accident.
It was not an accident. We're not trying to paint the picture in the wrong way, but it's totally not on that.
Uh-huh.
It was definitely a slip of words. I just think that in your mind, you thought you were correct for the first 30 seconds, and then you realized what you actually said.
Like, I just realized, I was just, like, defending it without even thinking about it. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, what I'm saying is totally wrong. I just didn't think when I spoke.
Exactly. But, your first 30 seconds of that were glorious, because all of us just kind of jaw-dropped, like, what?
Did you say what I think you said?
It was the long troll. That's what I was going
And then
with.
You said it more than once. That was the worst part. Yeah. Like, if you'd have just said it once, it would have been fine.
Man, I just had a Marcel slip of the tongue where I replaced one word with another in my mind for, like, a minute.
And then Ryan was like, Marcel, that cannot...
You don't understand. Yeah. People will think less of our whole podcast if anyone hears that he said that.
And luckily it didn't get recorded, because we would be playing that clip right now. But we got another clip where Corbin puts his foot in his mouth, because he's good for that. So what is the moto prize for Blood Moon? And what is the highest price you can buy Blood Moon in paper? Please tell me the difference.
I would say a paper price is like $3 maybe, and a moto price is $8 because paper? It's probably like some underdrafted sets on there or whatever.
Paper Blood Moon is $3.
Did you just say... Did you say Blood Moon is $3, Corbin?
$3.
You're fired.
Yes. Am I fired?
Yeah.
Blood Moon is $10 all day long in real life. I bet
the dark ones are more than $10, because it's $10 for...
Oh, yeah, no, the dark ones are more. I'm saying, like, a Blood Moon is $10.
I want to say the dark is, like, $15.
Chronicles
is $10, I bet the dark is $15. So...
You're
only off by 500%, Corbin.
I'm hard on this.
$3 Blood Moons, Corbin, man, you're a genius out here.
I try. I know my role.
Your role is to shut up. That's what your role is.
This is by far my favorite thing to come out of this podcast, because it has spread beyond, like, the magic community or the people who ever listened to the podcast.
Yeah, there was a comic that was the guy, the main character is Corbin, and they had one called Shut Up Corbin.
Yeah, they did. No, the thing is, man, I'm just not afraid to say that I like some awesome stuff like high school football and Taylor Swift and Buffalo Wild Wings
and cans of Surge and $3 Blood Moons.
I'm just not scared. I'm just not ashamed to admit the things I like. You guys all have stuff. You're embarrassing stuff that you like, and you just don't bring it up because you're scared. I'll put myself out there.
The embarrassing thing I liked was playing Magic the Gathering, because I thought I was going to get beat up in high school. Like, that was it.
And it turns out he got beat up, but not because of magic. It turns out, hey, let's beat up the cripple kid.
Might as well. Just
no, actually, they didn't have too many problems with that since elementary. Surprise.
Don't correct me. It sickens me.
Yeah, and this entire Blaine Corbin thing happens to be around with a lot of other people. It's just not with us. Like, this is Corbin known in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
It's funny that we came up with that conclusion completely separately, and then, like, the first time we had a chance to interact with people, I think, which was at that barbecue, honestly.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, yeah, no, Corbin, and then, like, you just told us how you were just kind of, like, the butt of all the jokes there, too. And we're like, oh, all right.
That's weird.
Well, we have this recorded. Let's move into this one.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that this whole denigrate Corbin thing and blame Corbin for everything is actually, like, it just happens to me most circles I'm in. Around here, people blame, like,
weird.
The joke
is really odd. I know, huh? Like, how could that happen?
That is totally based on random chance.
At home, the joke is that I was responsible for the Ice Age,
because I just get blamed for everything, whether I'm even there or not.
The Ice Age?
Yeah, well, it's no, just...
What, you can't hang out with three-year-olds? No, you're responsible for everything wrong in financial magic, but the Ice Age? Come on.
Like I said, I find that I tend to get blamed for most things, regardless of whether or not I'm even there.
As you should.
I would like to think it's because I take it pretty well.
That's what and I heard.
Oh,
the zingers.
Oh, no.
This is better than the podcast we recorded.
Another thing that Corbin's playing for is his ice cream bowl. And to his left, we got Corbin C. Hostler, Corbin the Hustler.
And my ice cream bowl, as Jason gives us a sound effect.
Oh, that ice cream bowl. Like, seriously, we're getting one, and we're going to just make that the new around the horn noise. Move on. That's what that ice cream bowl means. We should have been using that during the first 40 minutes when we were talking about League. Hey, ding, ling, ling, ling.
Yeah. Corbin's known for merfolk. Corbin's the merfolk guy. In fact, if anybody on this cast is known for a magic deck, it's going to be Corbin. Or maybe you, Ryan, for seance. But everyone else,
yeah,
Corbin.
We're probably up there. I would say if there's anything for, like, magic-themed, Corbin is definitely more well-known for merfolk. People who listen to the podcast know me for seance, and that's about it.
Why do you like merfolk so much, Corbin?
I love merfolk because I went to my first ever big tournament. It was the Star City Legacy Open. I went on a whim, basically, because somebody offered to pay for my tournament. They handed me merfolk to play, and then I won I split the finals of the event and won a lot of money. And then I won some money with it and a couple other events. So I just decided, you know what? This is my deck. Like, everyone's got to have their thing, and I just found mine. So I just ran with it.
You know, slam those merfolk of the Pearl Tridents in there.
That was the first thing I did. I need another two. First thing I did when M13 came out was get my merfolk of the Pearl Tridents.
Really? Not Master of the Pearl Tridents? Those aren't the first things you got? But,
it's all the same.
No, it's two very different cards.
Nope.
They're both merfolk, they're both a 4-of in every deck he's gonna run for the rest of his life.
That's right, I'm playing it in standard.
You love those vanilla 1/1s, huh?
When they're merfolk.
Oh, okay.
I actually hate it when my Delver flips, cause then it's not like a merfolk of the Pearl Trident anymore.
Alright, I'm gonna have to come up with another booze cube card here. We're gonna do this one on the fly, here we go. So it's called Drink Like a Fish.
So even though he tries to defend stuff like Taylor Swift, there's stuff he can't defend, like taking an entire group of people and making us go to Buffalo Wild Wings, and it was actually a real, more of a point of contention than Corbin even knew for a little while for some of us. I will tell you, Corbin, that honestly, all the anti-Corbin sentiment comes from a place of genuine disdain, and I'll tell you when it happened. We're all in Indiana.
And you made us go to B-Dubs.
And you made us go to Buffalo Wild Wings. You shanghaied a whole group into going to a restaurant that is in every city in the United States.
I did do that. You know what? I enjoyed it.
Indianapolis, Indiana, a city that has Fogo de Chao, St. Elmo's Steakhouse, and a restaurant called O'Reilly's that my buddy, who's a local, was trying to take us to. You shanghaied the whole group and made us go to Buffalo Wild Wings, and I thought to myself, you know, I really don't like this Corbin fucker sometimes.
Yes, B-Dubs is disgusting. I went to B-Dubs when we went to Gen Con, and I was not happy camper. So I do not subscribe.
I mean, we did warn you in advance, Marcel. Like, I think we warned you in advance and then all the way to the restaurant and mentioned all the other places in Indianapolis we could try. And you're like, nah, it's an experience. I got to try B-Dubs.
It was an experience.
And Corbin was skipping, so.
It's also funny because I literally just had B-Dubs before we did this podcast.
I experienced the bathroom 45 minutes later, if that's what you mean. That's the only B-Dubs experience I ever get.
Yes, there's nothing but bad when you go for B-Dubs. And how many times a week do you eat B-Dubs, Corbin?
I probably average like 1.5 times a week. I usually will get it on Thursdays because the boneless wings are like on sale that night. And then sometimes I'll get it another night if I just need to grab something.
A couple weeks ago, I went to B-Dubs all by myself.
All by yourself? Did they give you a booster seat, or did you sit in a big boy booth?
I got a big boy booth. I just pulled out my computer, started working, and ate some wings. It was a good night.
Oh, I'm sorry. You must have thought you were at a Panera Bread.
This is, you guys are giving me shit right now. Ryan set the record straight here. I believe you went to B-Dubs by your own choice last week?
Voluntarily.
I was strong-armed into it.
Strong-armed, okay.
I was. The group that I was hanging out with up at the card shop is like, we're gonna go to B-Dubs. And I'm like, well, I can go home and eat a frozen pizza.
And you loved it.
Oh, it was not the worst B-Dubs I've had. It was the worst meal that was not B-Dubs that I've had.
Oh, hey, right. Last time I was at B-Dubs, you guys will like this. I made it 3/4 of the way to the car before I shit my pants.
For the record, though, I did not make it out of the restaurant before I visited the bathroom.
You guys need to man up.
You need to clench those cheeks. Football season style.
Well, don't mistake us for being like Corbin. Yeah, he likes some really shitty food. But we do like to eat good food, in fact. You know, we have done barbecues. When we went to Vegas, we killed it with the barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
You go to Hockey Sushi. We went to Montreal. Like, we know how to get down. Fogo, in fact, we haven't been there yet, but there was a couple bets going on. I guess Ryan and Corbin, you know, they like to get into it a little bit. So there was a couple bets, Fogo bets, that they placed down.
Anyway, so welcome to the podcast. This is episode 39, also known as the one where Ryan owes Corbin Fogo.
Oh!
Until June.
Ouch.
How? I didn't think he would Fogo there.
He went there early and fast. Episode 33, there was a bet.
Marcel remembers the episode number. That's.
I did not forget.
That's some high-quality MC action there, Marcel.
Actually, I won't lie. I forgot and just remembered earlier today when my wife and I were talking about dinner. But I remembered.
I mean, everyone has been going on about Jace, but I don't think that's happening.
It is happening. Jace is getting unbanned. Like, I will make a bet with you right now if you want.
When's he getting unbanned?
Somebody listens to our podcast. Could you, like, keep track of all the bets?
You do get Fogo. However,
Ryan remembered too. Because
there's a roadblock in the way. And see, the roadblock is a bet that you just can't win.
I'll bet you Fogo on that.
I will bet you Fogo. Biggest ever? That's what you said?
Yep.
Biggest ever.
I would not take that bet. It ain't going to be the biggest ever.
Oh, shut up. Ben Ryan's take that bet. Fogo.
I can't lose either at this point. Like, the worst I can do is break even.
Right. I agree. Which means that we just have to go to Fogo, which is fine.
We do have to go to Fogo twice.
But we have a few things to talk about. But first off, speaking of Vegas, we got a Fogo bet that's going to be collected on.
Woohoo! Fogo bet.
Suck it, Corbin.
Ryan is very excited about winning the Fogo bet, and he forgets that he already lost a Fogo bet months ago when he said Jace the Mind Sculptor was going to get unbanned in Modern.
But you see, this one was a major blowout. That one we had to wait till the actual announcement. This one, I win a week before anything is even remotely finished. We may break 4,000 at this GP.
Do I owe you more Fogo than I would have otherwise?
You gotta pay for the free sale.
No, but I will rub it in.
Yeah, I mean, we came out of the bets fairly even, right? I don't know. What are we calling it at this point? Like, we still have to have a reason to go to Fogo, right?
I mean, we need to. We should probably just make another bet at some point. But I was very, very wrong about Vegas.
Yeah. You know, we all get to be wrong.
And the chase. That if you would have just not done that, you would have had Fogo. It's all bad.
It stinks, though, because then it's, FTV and, it made sense.
Well, Ryan's known to put his foot in his mouth. This is not something he's stranger to.
I don't mind. Like, I say what's on my mind and not always sober.
I want to hear about some of this. That's we've talked about Fogo and B-Dubs and Merfolk enough. Let's hear about Ryan.
Bring it on.
Let's talk about the F&M grinder.
Sure.
If it's good or not, it will see play.
That's where they write an article.
Because Timmy's play Storm in Modern, right? That's the definition.
The Timmy's will play whatever you post in a Star City article in Modern.
The article's on the Mothership. Like, I don't even read, like, Sam Black will put an article on the Mothership, and, like, someone will come into the shop with the deck belt, and I'm like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, it's Blister Coil weird and all this crap, and I'm like, oh, man. And then they'll KO somebody on turn 3 one game and then, like, whiff 4 games and then be happy with that at F&M.
Yeah, I don't think Timmy's
read Star City Premium. I think they
read. I think Timmy reads the Mothership.
I think Timmy. I'm not talking about Timmy, like the non-competitive player. I'm talking about the guy who like wants the edge at all these tournaments.
Oh, I'm talking about a literal guy named Tim that comes to my shop.
Oh, he's a total spot. Thanks, Tim.
No, I'm not. Like I said, I'm not talking about like the casual crowd of Magic. They read the Mothership. I'm talking about the players who, you know, go to their FNMs. The typical Star City person who shows up to the Star City Open.
Spikes.
What's that?
You're talking about Spikes.
No, Spikes are more like tournament players. Like the FNM grinder.
What FNM grinder is building Young Pyromancer Storm?
FNM grinder, that's not a fucking thing.
It really is, actually.
Took two words and put them together. Two disparate really, words.
No, it really is.
Grinding the FNM circuit. Four planeswalker points at a time.
Nobody
gets the three buys.
Nobody who is not a spike plays Storm in a tournament.
Yes, they do. Okay, whatever. It's coming from two people who don't play Storm.
What? Timmy's like the cast, like, fucking eight mana cost green dudes. They don't play Storm.
Again, you're talking about, like, this group of players that doesn't play tournaments at all. Right. I'm talking about the Timmy competitive players who go on to Star City and read their articles and believe that that's
the top. I don't know what Timmy means, stuff. Then. That's what's going on here. He's Timmy is Jamie Wakefield.
Sorry, again, you're referencing... Timmy all the time, and I'm not referencing it in the Magic terms of.
Yes, Tim. You're referencing the kid in the wheelchair in South Park. We get it.
Well, I mean that too, I guess. But
like, right, you can't make a reference to a known psychographic and then say
I you're didn't think about it when I said it out loud. I'm sorry. Sure,
I don't mean the kind of Timmy that casts big creatures.
It is the person who goes to FNM, but takes it very seriously, plays competitively, reads all the Star City articles, but is not good enough to get on the pro tour.
Spike. That's literally Spike's definition.
No, there is a big difference. Shut up. But my God, a Spike is a person who goes to Grand Prix, is a person who goes to bigger events. That is not a person who just sits at their FNM.
This is making it into the podcast. I want to let you know.
Wait. I'm going to look this up.
I'm recording this. I'm leaving it in. That is what you get for saying shit like that, Ryan.
Wait. I'm going to look this up.
That's fine. I don't really care.
It's not fair that you get to say shit like that and hurt my head, and then yes. You're fine afterwards.
I'm sorry, I was wrong about the Timmy thing. You're right, I misutilized that.
When R&D talks about spikes, with psychographics, they have Timmy, Johnny, and, quotes, the tournament player. And that person is Spike.
I don't like how you just get to take a dump in the middle of my living room and then walk away from it like, see ya. You said the dumbest thing I'd ever heard, and then I've got to deal with that, and it's elevating my blood pressure, and then you could just walk away from it like, cool, hope you got some Febreze.
And I hope you got some Febreze and Savage Summonings.
Sure, I mean, I guess.
I'm not paying $15 for a Savage Summoning. Forget it. I'll just buy booster packs.
Oh, shit, my token showed up today, too. I just found them on the counter.
It's a good day for everybody.
I still hold by this. I use the wrong terminology, but there are absolutely people who only play at FNM and take it very
seriously. That was not the argument. The argument was Timmy.
That was a savage misplay.
Oh, I know where this is going. I'm never talking about Magic Theory again. I'm only talking about cards I absolutely know are getting played, and that's it. Like, this was proof to me that you cannot theorize about cards.
But
and
you absolutely knew about this one too. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's $6 right now, which I'm probably okay trading with them, because it could be one of those cards at maybe like the Pro Tour where like all of a sudden everyone's just running Savage Summoning and Aetherling together, and you know, it spikes up to 10 or 15, but I highly doubt it. I think I'm probably okay trading
$15 for a card that can only go in a green-blue deck.
This is possibly the most
absolutely, but
I can't fucking believe we spent this much time talking about Savage Poop on Summoning.
It seems like everything
you've said was said about Autumn's Veil and Autumn's Veil.
Autumn's Veil.
What are you talking about? No, this
is everything you've said about this card, about how it's good against the control decks, blah blah blah. It does exactly what you want to protect your guy. Is the same thing that was true of Autumn's Veil, and Autumn's Veil didn't get
paid. I will give you money to move on to shut up about Savage Summoning, so we can talk about
this card going to see play.
I don't want to talk about.
Yeah, that's classic. All right.
Oh yeah.
To be fair, though, he did say. There's a possibility that it could be up there. It's likely not to, but he did say there's a possibility.
Let's not mitigate it. Ryan said something stupid, and that's funny to me.
I mean, it was definitely stupid, but like I said, I think at that point I was really kind of like blown away with what had happened with the set before and how just the initial impact of what that next weekend's event can do. And I really heard a lot of people start talking about Savage Summoning. I was like, you know, this could be one of those effects where like nobody has the card yet. It starts getting played as a four of what could happen to it. So like I said, like that's the Magic theory, and it's something like we definitely kind of got thrown into being in the Magic finance community, but weren't necessarily comfortable with because it's not something that, you know, people were doing before. Before it was a matter of you go pick up your cards that are, you know, worth less money and are that people think are worth less money, and then you get, you know, your casual stuff that nobody knows is worth anything, and you trade those out or you trade between casual and competitive crowds. You didn't really have to worry about like theory behind things because prices weren't moving as much. It's just definitely a new market of Magic that I think we've gotten a much better hold of since. And I certainly made a huge mistake in the beginning. I'll give you that one.
And there's another thing that I think that was a big point on this podcast. When we got episode 25 with Medina, when we did the Ravnica set review, there's a good 30-minute talk there about shot calling. And yep. I think this was a very pivotal part of our podcast. Like you and Jason were very firm on shot calls are good. It's good to make shot calls. It's good to make buying cards at buy list and then selling them to people at a regular price. And your big point was like, you know, you got to have the outlet. You got to have the outs. But, now you're on Medina's side.
I'm not really completely on Medina's side. I think what it more for me now is, I can't use shot calling as a major portion of income because it has to be so much more than that. And there's not, when you really look at the number of Magic cards that go up, you would have to hit almost every single one of them in order for that to be like your main source of incoming money. I still make shot calls. I still bought, you know, a ton of Herald of Torments, things like that. I mean, even as recently in this past year, and I still think that's a major, like I didn't like that he completely dismissed it. However, I understood much more where he's coming from of just, you gotta make your money.
We don't expect to eat is what the right. main thing is.
Exactly.
And I don't think we should call this really like the Medina side of things. Cause I mean, it's not like Medina was the first person to ever own a store. He was just the first person right. to come on our podcast and talk about it.
He was the point of when he was on the cast, his position was that in essence.
Right. I mean, yeah. Well, it isn't now, I think all of us, you know, in person, at least the three of us, maybe not Marcel, do a lot of buying and selling cards. So we're kind of on both sides of it now.
That's yeah. where you got to be. And, like, why pigeonhole yourself? Why just spec on short-term cards or long-term cards or just buy list or, you know, just buy to sell retail? Like, why not do it all? Because having that many revenue streams set up is the best way to be successful with this.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to our next thing. Speaking of,
shot calls.
And shot calls in theory. Let's hear about this one.
And don't forget to pick up all your seances this week before I get to tell you I told you so next week.
So I will be honest, I may have in fact just ordered several hundred from TCG Player while we were talking.
Fantastic.
Because it's $50 and it's free shipping and that's, you know, I'll take a risk on that. 10 cents cards, I'll take a risk on that.
It's not even a risk, because, like, unlike stocks, I mean, we talked about this before, too, unlike stocks, like, bulk rares are always going to be worth something. Like, worst case scenario, you can sell those bulk rares back for 10 cents.
Oh, I do love me some seance.
Yeah, so Ryan was big on seance. Seance was his thing.
Correction, still big on seance.
I'm big on seance, too, considering how many copies I'm sitting on.
See, I wasn't the only one to believe.
People were claiming that they were trying to pump and dump this card. That was actually, yeah, I heard that from a few people, and you guys make this the real deal, but other people didn't think seance was it. And so this was definitely, it's iconic, I could say.
I mean, it's iconic.
The word you're looking for is infamous.
Yeah.
Infamous. It proves that Ryan and I are not capable of a pump and dump is what that proves.
Yeah. And honestly, that was not something I was attempting to do. Like, if nothing else, it's a testament to the fact that I decided to build a deck and go play in an event, which I have not done since. Well, no, that's a lie. I played in the GP, I guess, for Vegas. But, like, outside of pre-releases, I don't play Magic. That's the last major constructive event I've played in. And it's because I thought that that deck was good enough that it could pilot me to a good finish, and I was right. Like, that was not play skill that got me in that top 8. I don't play Magic anymore. That was absolutely seance and just being better than that field. But it also proved that in the market and the way things work now, it's got to be a big name and a big event to do anything to a card's price.
So another thing about Ryan that I didn't know was that he's handicapped. yeah, when actually we'll play this clip and just to give it, like, when at the end of the cast, I was like, Ryan, like, we're gonna have to cut this entire thing out at the beginning. He's like, you didn't know I was handicapped.
Yeah, Marcel like legitimately thought that Ryan just went off on this tirade against the handicap, and Marcel was like, dude, what the fuck? You can't say any of that stuff.
Yeah, let's listen to it. Let's hear what happened.
We got Phyrexian Cam Walker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's me. Thanks. Ryan Bouchard, obviously. Thank you, Jason, for that nickname, by the way.
That's right. Any angry emails from the American Handicap Association, I guess, direct to my Twitter.
Thank you, Corbin, for laughing a second time at that joke.
You shouldn't have made
it. It really doesn't get old. That's actually just hilarious, so.
I mean, it's hilarious because it's you. Not that, you know, it's all funny, obviously.
No, they're hilarious. Have you seen some handicapped people? We were in Michigan the other day and I couldn't stop myself.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. And was that today? Was Burger King today? I don't know.
Taco Bell.
Oh, it was Taco Bell last night, I think. Whatever it was, like, it was
all the winners are at Taco Bell late at night.
No, it was during the day, and it was like the handicap special, I don't know. Like, handicap at Taco Bell day.
Yeah, he almost accidentally got on a bus with them.
Alright, well this podcast got derailed about 30 seconds in.
Stupid though, because, I mean, we'll get into the financial stuff, but people will enjoy this. So, like, walk up to the counter, and I'm next to Aaron, and, the lady looks at me like, I'm just like, I mean, she just got done with like 20 special needs kids. And, you know, I walk up there like the way I do. And I say something to her and she kind of gives me this like, surprise of, oh, you're not retarded. I mean, handicapped or whatever the proper term is.
You get that look all the time though.
I know I do.
Somebody watches you trade and then you talk and they're like, oh, you're not retarded.
Oh, thanks. Oh boy.
Phyrexian Kant Walker. Oh man. You gotta get that on a t-shirt.
There's tons of names, man. Like, I've had some magic players are creative. They come up with pretty good ones.
Yeah, like Shamble Shark or Phyrexian Can't Walker or Stupid Fuckhead.
Oh, so the new thing is now apparently I look like Dak Faden. So I'm getting a ton of people telling me that. That's cool. So I probably have to start collecting that card, which really sucks because it's like a $60 frickin' Planeswalker.
You don't look like Dak Faden. You look like the guy on Thousand Lashes.
And that, thank you. Sure.
So Ryan's also known for blatant self-promotion. Like, he'll talk about his multiple calls that he made really good, like the one that he won't let go is Death Shadows. He bought a car with this, and I think he bought a second car, right?
No. I have no car. I'm enjoying the life of not having to drive. That's what employees are for.
Didn't you buy a car with your Death Shadows winnings?
Oh, yeah, and then one of my employees wrecked said car into a deer.
Well, let's listen to that.
If you sit on a card long enough, eventually it'll become a good call, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at Death Shadow, right? That was obviously a nuts call.
Did you shut up about Death Shadow? No one cares that you were right about that card twice.
Jaguar met deer. Jaguar lost.
It's not how that's supposed to work.
Yeah, aren't jaguars like a natural predator of the deer?
Yeah, pretty sure.
You'd think so. However, the deer got the slip on it and smashed itself into the hood and put the engine block down 6 inches.
Deer's got haste! Yeah, that was one of our elemental tokens from Voice of Resurgence. Something. Definitely that There's stag a... got big enough. Ew. Power and toughness for every car on the road.
Huh. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So one of the things that happened as a result of us kind of cleaning up our podcasts halfway through maybe a year ago is that some of the off the cuff stuff we did on the podcast before got moved to a segment we called After Hours, which is a lot of fun because people, we'd always talk on Twitter about how, yeah, man, we just talked for 30 minutes before the podcast and used all the good stuff. And people are like, well, record that. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, that we can't make that the podcast because it's not structured at all. It would be very frustrating for people to listen to, but it makes great after hours.
So welcome everyone to Brainstorm Brewery. We're here at episode 45, I believe. Is that correct? I
don't know. Yes, sir.
45? Yep. Sounds about right.
The show notes, but the show notes were populated by Corbin, so they are not all that likely to be correct.
It actually feels like
that's the episode we're on.
It actually feels like episode 46 because we just had a podcast before we recorded this podcast.
It is true. We have been on now for what, hour and a half?
Yeah.
And
like literally Marcel just asked a financial question. We talked about it for 2 minutes and then I'm like, oh my God, why aren't we recording this?
But don't let Jason fool you. I would like to pretend like that hour and a half before our podcast is us discussing very relevant financial news. But we usually try and save that for the cast, and it's about the least productive 2 hours of my week.
And we have to cut a lot of it.
A lot, yeah.
Turns out Google Goggles never would have made it on Gathering Magic.
Yeah, it would have got vetoed. But yeah, so that allows us to speak freely. So we created the After Hours, MTG After Hours podcast. Basically all the stuff that was left on the editing floor. And there's some really good stuff. In fact, check out this Jason Simic letter. It's pretty good.
All right, guys. We got something a little bit special this week. I actually managed to go online and obtain one of the guild letters. In the guild box that's going to be at the pre-release, I managed to snag Simic's guild letter. And I think it's a little different than the other nine. Let me know what you think. So this is a letter to the Simic Guild from Prime Speaker Zagana. If you decided you would like to represent Simic at this week's pre-release, this is going to be a rough fucking ride. For those of you that have your head stuck under rocks, which is apparently the majority of this guild, we've been fucking up in terms of inter-guild events and general social interactions with Azorius. If you're reading this right now and saying to yourself, but OMG, Zagana, I've been having so much fun evolving with my guild members this week, then punch yourself in the face right now so I don't have to fucking find you in the combine to do it myself. Newsflash, you stupid cocks. Other guilds don't like useless guilds. Oh, wait. Double fucking newsflash. Azorius is not going to want to hang out with us if we fucking suck. Which, by the way, in case you're an idiot and need it spelled out for you, we only have 4 fucking merfolk and 2 of them are 6 drops. This also applies to you little shits that have talked openly about post-gaming at Izzet in front of Azorius brothers. Are you people fucking retarded? If Azorius openly said, yeah, we're going to invite Demir over, would you be happy? Would you? But Zagana, you say in a whiny little fish crab voice as you read this letter. I've been cheering on our guild champion at the maze run. Doesn't that count for something? No, you stupid fucking asshats, it fucking doesn't. Do you want to know fucking why? It doesn't count because you've been fucking up at that too. I've not only gotten astral projections about people being fucking steam core weirds at the maze run, but I've gotten messages about people actually cheering for the opposing guild's champion. The opposing fucking guild. Are you fucking stupid? You cheer for your own goddamn guild, not the other one. Have you never been to a maze run? I will fucking cunt punt the next person I hear about doing something like that. And I don't give a fuck if you rapid hybridization me. I will fucking ground assault you. If you have done anything I've mentioned in this letter, then you are a horrible PR for this guild. I would rather have experiment one that is fun, remembers its evolve triggers, and doesn't have a terrible casting cost to power toughness ratio, than experiment 80 that are fucking wood elementals. If you're one of the people who told me, oh no, boo-hoo, I can't evolve, then I pity you, because I don't know how you got this far in life. And with that in mind, don't fucking show up in my hand unless you're going to stop being a goddamn cockblock for our guild. Seriously. I swear to fucking God, if I see anyone being a goddamn boner at tonight's event, I will take all of your 1-1 counters. I don't care if you're summoning sick. I'm not even kidding. Try me. Sincerely, Prime Speaker Zagana, Simic Guild Leader.
Yeah. And that's how Jason manages to tie his favorite guild into pop culture right there.
That's so dated now. Nobody even remembers that initial letter because that was just true. Such like a blip on the media like that week and then everyone forgot about it.
It was funny though.
Totally. All right. Worked,
yeah. Yeah. All right. The Vegas though will never be forgotten.
Not by us anyway.
Yeah. Vegas was definitely one of our highlights as a podcast. We did a big, like bigger than big.
I think Jason, I think Vegas was the highlight of our podcast. I think that if I have one thing that I had to declare as like my favorite part of what's come out of this podcast, it would be Vegas.
Yeah, it was incredible.
That was one of the best weeks I've had in a long ass time. Like, I have not replicated that since.
I know a lot of you guys have heard about this, so I guess the shortish version is that, Ryan, Jason, and, our buddy Aaron, the God Slayer, road tripped from Michigan to Oklahoma to pick me up. Then we road tripped from Oklahoma to Vegas, where we met Marcel and had a giant house that we had rented out along with Heavy Meta and several other podcasts and fans
And it was just a crazy weekend of getting to see people you don't get to see very often or at all. On top of it, Marcel and I day two'd the Modern Masters event, the largest ever Grand Prix, largest ever card tournament there's been. I actually ended up cashing that tournament. I think I got like 24th place. So, and we all had a ton of fun at the house. There was a booze cube, pretty much everything you could ask for.
The house was definitely the highlight, and we're going to do some more of this awesome again. So we're going to figure it out. Hopefully Vegas comes back again and you'll see Vegas 2.0 with us.
Because, we have to have some Mevy Meta.
Oh yeah. Mevy Meta was the thing. So we got on the actual, it's our first time ever getting on the mother site. They took a picture of us. We all had our Brainstorm Brewery shirts, and it was the Heavy Meta. They had their shirts and they took a picture, and then we looked on the website and they said, oh yeah, this is a podcast. Marcel's on this podcast called Mevy Meta. And we were just pretty disappointed with that. So we ran with that.
I mean, it was a little typo there, but, you know what? Shout out to the mothership, and in particular, Blake Rasmussen for writing about, you know, the podcast house and just the weekend that was Vegas there. It was awesome to kind of get our story out there to people.
Yeah. I mean, we could sit here and have a whole episode just talking about Vegas, but I think we should.
Well, yeah. Why have we never thought of doing a whole episode about Vegas and bringing it up 13 times?
I think we've done like three or four of those, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Well, yeah, Mevy Meta, we did a dual episode with Heavy Meta. We both recorded the same episode. We put it out, and I wrote recorded the intro for that. So let's move into that.
What is up, you washed up slot machine junkies? I'm Marcel, and you were listening to Mevy Meta. This is a baby making podcast, and what I mean by that is that I'll read through the phone book for the next hour or so. My smooth, velvety voice pushes significant other in the mood faster than you can shuffle a triple mulligan.
Yeah, that Marcel doing all that work is why he is the wheels that make this podcast go.
Yes, indeed. You don't understand the miracles that I make happen with these guys.
I think anybody who spent a little bit of time around us would probably get a good idea, though.
Yeah, Corbin is actually fluent in Japanese and speaks no English, so the translating work that Marcel does is just flawless.
But as smooth as my voice may sound, I'm actually not that smooth. In fact, there's quite a few times I can find myself fumbling over my own words, like this one.
2.5 months, that's going to go by in a skip and a hop.
I hope so.
That can't possibly be a real idiom, can it? A skip and a hop?
No, it's a stone's throw or something, right?
No,
hop and a skip, right?
Living in Oklahoma, I've literally had
proximity. Yeah, we all know about your spaghetti idiom, but
no, it's literally. I was on my way to a football game out in some tiny little town that I was covering, and I stopped at a gas station to ask somebody. I think she said it's a
hop, a skip, and a jump, right? Yeah, that's something like that's proximity, not like an amount of time.
Yeah, it's a hop, skip, and jump.
I don't know why that bothered me. I just felt like we had to talk about something.
Well, time. And space is just relative, so.
That's some Stephen Hawking shit you're busting out.
Going all deep on us.
Magic Online, you can spend $1 and you can play a sealed draft, and it's a real sealed draft. So, I don't know. Anyone that wants to learn how to play, get on that.
What is a sealed draft?
Oh, fuck.
It's similar to a revised piece of power.
No. Do you get Targamoyf in there?
Oh, the Targamoyf
had me rolling the first time I heard it.
Listening to Marcel get words wrong is just way more entertaining than he. I don't even want to correct him. I just want to hear what he's got to say.
It's always been like this. My brother would he would be so upset at me because I would like put letters in the words that weren't there. Like, it was horrible. I was the best.
The couple of times where you'll say something and one of us will silently chuckle and the other ones will kind of join in and you like continue to say something not knowing what we're laughing about, and then you kind of think about it and you're like, am I not saying that correctly?
Right, it's like, oh, I screwed up.
Yeah. It's way more fun just to let you go with it, even though we know that's like an extra 30 seconds of stuff that just can't be recorded.
And sometimes we'll let you say Geest of St. Traft for like an entire year.
Yeah, isn't that it Geest?
It's Geist, dude.
It's Geist. Oh, that one was fun. I couldn't never bring myself to stop that one.
Wow, you didn't even know until right now? That's awkward.
Totally.
The jig is up, boys.
Totally.
He knows.
I could call it whatever the fuck I want to call it. It's my car.
There's more stuff doubling down on a mispronunciation.
Yep.
That's bold.
I'm also known for pretty bad segues. As I said earlier, I subscribe to the Tom Gustin School of Segways. So.
It's Gustafson.
Oh, Tom Gustafson. And I'm also pretty bad with the segues because, as I said earlier, I subscribe to the Tom Gustafson.
No, you
No. That's the part that's getting used right there. The laughter is what leads into the clip. That's it. Right. You don't get a second chance.
Otherwise, people just will quit spending money. But what about this true name, Nemesis? What's going on with him?
Oh, the Nemesis. He...
Oh, wait. We're going to go Picks in the Week, right?
Well... You already segued into something else. You can't blueball me with a let's go back to Pick of the Week now.
That was the worst segue ever, actually.
Yeah. I had a half a sentence out. It doesn't matter. Good segue, bad segue.
Picks of the Week sound better.
Oh, my God.
Well, my Pick of the Week's going to be True Name Nemesis.
That's good analysis, Corbin. Speaking of good analysis, let's do some analysis on some of these spoiled Theros cards.
Smooth as butter.
Bam! I learned from the master. Marcel had a lot of time to teach me last week when it was just me and him.
No longer a Padawan. He actually moves up the Jedi chain.
All right. I don't have to watch you get cut in half or anything. I get an easier upgrade. That's good.
All right. So let's, that's pretty good. But you know what? While it is fun, to have some fun with Marcel's segues, he, like we said, he does all the editing for this. So. That's worth hearing about.
Except Marcel's girlfriend will find him dead in the bathroom as he hung himself around to edit this cast.
That's not that bad.
Let's Brian, keep going. I hate to nitpick, but I believe it's actually hanged and not hung.
I'm definitely hung. It ain't hanged.
Yeah. Oh. Well, this was going to be a productive cast, and then it degenerated.
You know you're on a roll when you resort to a dick joke.
That went downhill quickly.
That's what she said.
Ba-dum-bum.
And some other, and another thing that I was known for is my love of 4-3-2-2s.
Yup.
Which are not
we tried to talk you out of this for a while.
Yeah, I still don't think they're horrible, but I've actually gotten away from them more.
That's okay. I still don't think you're right, so it's fine.
Well, let's listen to this clip where I get schooled on. You know how bad my love for 4-3-2-2s are. That if you're able to pull a shock land or something out of the pack, you kind of can negate that, and it's almost like a pack in its own in terms of value. And like you can guarantee to get, like I could pretty much guarantee to win the first round of every 4-2-2 guaranteed. So I'm almost guaranteed to get two packs. And it, when I get to the second round, I'm guaranteed that I could play another draft for whatever the two tickets. I don't know. Somehow I.
All right, so I need to stop you. Okay, so there's a few things. One, you're part of the problem. Like by giving Wizards patronage on these 4-3-2-2s, you're enabling them to keep them at 4-3-2-2. Because why would they change it, right? So don't do that.
Yeah, well, it turns out Marshall is so probably a little bit knowledgeable about drafting on Magic Online. You could say.
What makes you think that? Like,
You know. Yeah, I think he's maybe what you'd consider an expert. I know that when we team drafted at, Grand Prix Cincinnati, a while back, he destroyed me. So I'm inclined to think that he knows what he's talking about.
To be fair though, my wife could probably destroy you in a team draft.
I mean, that's probably, yeah, that's fair. But, Marshall was a great guest to have on. We've had, a lot of great guests, but a little, you know, nugget of trivia here. No repeat guests on this cast.
John Medina.
And Raymond Perez.
And Raymond Perez. Yep. So.
And Perez, well, that's what I was going to say. Ray's in, Jason. Ray's kind of a guest, kind of just like, you know, a segment that we bring in from time to time. No, but yeah, back in the day, Medina was like the only repeat until, you know, we decided we need to trade him in for an 8-ball.
You literally, if you're going to make fun of me for misusing the word Timmy, then you're not allowed to misuse the word guest. Raymond is a guest. So anyway.
Sure. I consider Ray a part of the podcast who is occasionally not here.
But Medina, so Medina, he wasn't able to show up because we had him as a regular guy that would come for the set reviews. That's when we had Medina on, but one time that he wasn't able to show up, so we had to get the Magic 8-Ball out.
Yeah, and we also got a special guest here. You guys probably know him from Legit MTG. It's Jonathan Medina. Oh yeah, wait a minute. He didn't show up. He said he was too busy preparing for GP Columbus. Fair enough.
But luckily, we replaced Medina with something that I think we can all agree is probably just, you know, strictly better, and that is the Magic 8-Ball.
Yes, indeed. We got a Magic 8-Ball app here, and I'll be calling off Jonathan Medina's shots. We'll see if it'll be better than his actual calls.
His sources say no.
Hold on, right here. Oh, do not count on it.
Yeah, so of course Medina, he retired from Magic, and so our set reviews kind of floundered on. And
well, we had Zach Hill on for the last one, so I think we're taking some steps in the right direction here.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we did big bad episodes, but I don't think they're like home runs like they can be. So well,
I think the main issue is we go into set reviews like a team that is an underdog goes into a game where we're just already beat before we start. And that doesn't make for the greatest of set reviews. Like none of us, because of the way presale prices are nowadays, it's so much harder to do set reviews.
Yeah. And we could approach it like the Mighty Ducks, but we approach it like the Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
Well put. Jason, well, he's not well put, or depends on how you want to say it. Some people actually really hated it, but Jason had our most controversial set review ever. We have never received more emails than this one.
I mean,
does anybody else think, like, you remember when you were like 11 years old and your friends would design Magic cards and they all ended up looking like Chromanticore?
Yeah.
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 Because
he wanted to have every ability. I love that card.
It's every color with every ability. It's super sweet. It's got going on my deck.
Thank you.
Jason,
anyway.
You're just being a dick to be a dick today.
I like it. Today? You act like this is something that doesn't happen every day.
No, it does, but like he's like trying extra hard on it. Like he just turned the dick meter up to 10.
No, it's because I'm drinking. Like this isn't for casual players. This is for people with head trauma.
Wow. Jeez.
This art content should be in crayon. Like, this is an unglued card. This is a fucking unglued card.
What is wrong?
Jason, this card is awesome. You're not allowed to drink on the podcast anymore.
Jason, unfiltered.
You are a small child, Donnie.
You hate everything.
If I were a small child, I'd like this card.
I like this card more than now that Jason hates it.
Oh, my God.
They don't respect our intelligence. By putting this card, it's an insult. It's an actual insult.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's our last chance of ever us getting a spoiler for Brainstorm Brew.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they gave us this?
Oh.
This has been our spoiler, and you three would have to.
That's what they're gonna do.
Like, just grit your teeth and be like, "Oh, we got a spoiler. Oh, it's Chromanticore. Let's read it to our listeners." And I would have been like. Brainstorm Brewery, the cast that spent literally 90 seconds on Spirit of the Labyrinth and 10 fucking minutes on Chromanticore.
Just remembering some of the things that were said in particular emails.
It's not for casuals, it's for people with head trauma.
This one was great because this is one of those things where we knew on the cast what was happening and we tried to give him a way out. Several times we tried to give him an opportunity to back out of this one. And he just wouldn't do it. He just kept digging the hole.
I think he even went so far as to say that has to be on the cast.
Yeah.
At one point. Grant, I don't know how much you had to drink that night, but I know it was more than you should drink during a set review in the future.
Yeah. How much?
Only one beer, but it was 12%.
Oh. Well, anyways, that's double. That's triple these Bud Light Limes.
I think that was actually probably one of our best highlights of the podcast.
Yeah,
I'm sure people got upset about it, but you know, if you could look past it and not get offended, that was hilarious.
It was
and
hilarious.
If you can't handle Jason's potty mouth, you're probably going to be offended quite a bit anyway. So here's a glimpse into that.
Let's get all the offensive right out of the way.
It really is, because if you look at the MTG Finance subreddit, where first of all, you're starting with Redditors, so, you know, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit. But second of all, like, the people are...
I guess if you're playing red-green, your removal is Gore Clan rampaging somebody when you attack, like...
Oh, and it's also, like, maybe Lightning Strike, but almost definitely Mizzium Mortars.
Good thing we don't have to listen to you, and you're not the talent when it comes to grading cards. We got Ray here. He's our...
Oh, okay. That's fine. What if I'm wrong and I was proved wrong by the guy who's got like fifth in the world this season with Planeswalker points? I'm okay with that.
You'd feel silly.
Oh no, a guy who's better than me said something and I was wrong. I just don't think.
Let's quote that. Can I get that like sent to my email? That part right there so I can loop it for my ringtone?
No.
That is correct. But in the meantime, you're just going to hear people crying and gnashing their teeth and bitching and moaning like all Magic players do.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They were going to cry this whole week, though. They were going to go, oh, it sucks. This has been shitty for years. You never fix it. Why don't you fix it? Fix it. Just fix it. Just fix it. All right, we'll take it downline to fix it. You're taking offline? We want our moto. They were going to complain no matter what.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name's Ral Zarek. I'm just busy over here disappointing everybody. Oh, wait, that's 2 months from now when I'll be doing that.
How many dicks Ral Zarek can cram in his mouth?
Lots.
Four man is worth.
Who are you talking about?
I'm going to untap this dick and suck it again.
Can that be the intro to the show?
Yes.
Oh, that was legendary. Thank you, Jason.
Holy moly, man. Who's got the bar of soap? This needs to wash out of his mouth.
Oh, man.
I mean, well, when you hate EDH as much as Jason does, you can understand the vitriol. Oh, wait. I mean, he loves – now you like EDH. I'm confused. Which is it?
I don't know either.
Yes.
Yes,
do you want to run us through a timeline of your EDH love-hate relationship? How are you guys seem to be doing all right now, but I know you've had problems in the past.
So I was like, oh, Kakusho's a spirit. That's awesome. And someone's like, that's banned in EDH. And I'm like, all right, I'm banned in EDH too, and I never really played after that.
As much as I would like to deal somebody 20 damage with Havoc Festival in EDH, that would involve playing EDH.
We caught you on camera on footage with a picture on Twitter, you playing EDH.
That was doctored. I was actually drowning a puppy, but it's much less embarrassing to be drowning a puppy than playing EDH.
I am so terrible at EDH. I cannot win a single EDH game ever.
Even if you kill the other three players, you still didn't win because you played EDH.
Right.
I don't want to talk about that scandalous Photoshop picture put on Twitter of me allegedly enjoying a game of Elder Dragon Highlander.
You loved every minute of it.
That was Photoshopped.
I think I've maintained the same feeling the whole time through. Is just I love to hang out with EDH players and talk to them and trade with them and play EDH with them. I just don't want to read their emails.
No, that play EDH with them part was not always true.
That's a relatively new development, but now I am an EDH expert. Writing an EDH column weekly on GatheringMagic.com.
An EDH expert, huh? The articles are good. I enjoy your EDH articles, and I actually kind of have gone the same way in that I didn't used to be big into it, and now I am, although I never quite went off on it like you did.
Well, and it's so easy once you have your name as something to branch out and do something else. Like, you found that with EDH. I've kind of found that with, like, the Vorthos. Like, I haven't gotten to an article part about it yet, but I really have enjoyed, like, talking to people, and now people have been tagging me in things that are Vorthos-related just because I've, you know, spoken about it enough. I'm kind of becoming, like, a self-proclaimed Vorthos expert. I'm definitely not there yet,
Ryan.
I'm working on it.
It's amazing that you managed to make the Jason spotlight about you. That was
a
flawless segue. Yeah.
I was just trying to take some of the pressure off you for EDH. But
this is time to plug Ryan!
Selfless promotions, what we were talking about.
Well, I was more just playing off of your expert comment there. It's interesting that just the way the comment or the community views people because they're, you know, well enough to be spoken out in the community. Like, I mean, it goes back to the whole start of this podcast in general. Like, none of us thought we'd be where we are now. And look at, you know, people reference us daily on Twitter for financial advice.
And there were other things that we never really expected to develop. We talked about how we didn't really anticipate having a content website. And that's something that's sort of evolved over time. We were sponsoring Kenji Igashira during his epic Play Magic Every Day for a Year run. We've added merchandise. We've added a lot of great writers, a lot of whom came from our fan base. We're, you know, putting out articles daily and changing lives. So it's been a very fun transition, I think. But it's been a surprise, too.
Yeah. You know, it was actually initially just a place for us to post a podcast. But then we got an article, and then a second one, and the third one. And next thing you know, like, look at where it's at. And, you know, that's just the power of how awesome this community is. I want to shout out all the people that write for the site. It's too many. I don't want to hurt no feelings by missing somebody out. But I do want to give a shout out to Danny Brown and Chris Powles. That's our editor and graphic artist, respectfully. They have put in a lot of hard work since the site's been on, so I want to make sure that they get their credits. You'll find some great articles, some good series, and we're going to have some other exciting stuff that will be posted there. And we had the opportunity to sponsor Kenji during his 365-day challenge, and we did that for about a good 6 months. It was an awesome experience. I'm glad that Kenji allowed us to be a part of the milestone. And also, we sponsored Raven Perez Jr. You know, he won the PTQ, and he's on his way to the Pro Tour, so we decided to give him support. I mean, we weren't a team. We didn't have the pro experience and all that, but we could support him in other ways. So we decided to help him out, and he became our first sponsored player, Brainstorm Brewery, representing the Brew Crew. And they did a highlight on Ray, and yep. He's wearing a Brainstorm Brewery t-shirt there, repping it hard. So yeah. We got a shout out to Ray for that, you know, and he's been doing it big. He went back, back-to-back pro tours. He went to this last one in Atlanta. But, yeah, so we love Ray. He is an unofficial member of the cast, contrary to whatever the fuck Ryan thinks.
Oh, he is a guest. Captain G.
Apparently I just Monday Night Magic'd him. Great. My bad.
Oh, wow.
Oh, too soon. You can come
he
back.
Might go start his own podcast now.
We were actually going to do that to Marcel, but none of us wanted to edit.
Yeah.
Well, we've added Jason to the cast, Marcel, so anytime you want to come back as a guest.
Oh, wow. Every week? All right, I guess that's okay.
All the zingers.
Oh, jeez.
So another highlight, well, we thought we were going to get a Vegas 2.0 in GP Montreal. This is another event that we all decided to come to, except for Corbin, of course, that he had to go to work instead of joining us for our debauchery.
Okay, preps.
I mean, let's be real. GP Montreal turned out exactly what we knew it was going to be. It was an all right time. You know, we got together, we went out, we did our thing, we got to go to some reasonable restaurants. We tried to play it up to be Vegas beforehand, and we all knew going in it wasn't going to be Vegas, and it turned out to be even less of Vegas than we had hoped.
Yeah, but it was still a great time. I had a good time.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't think it's fair to match every time that we hang out now at this point to Vegas, but that's going to be the problem is we're always going to want it to be that Vegas.
Because we found the high, and you know, we're like dope fiends chasing that first high. It's never going to be
the same. Oh, I was higher.
But Montreal was all kind of debauchery. We got to hang out with everyone. It's cool stuff. We got to stay at Rye ABC's house, and shout out to him. Great hospitality. Poutine. Yeah. If you guys don't know about poutine, get on that. It's just delicious. And if you're ever in Toronto, go to Hockey Sushi.
Oh, yeah. That place was amazing. I mean, there are little hole-in-the-wall hidden sushi gems like that, I swear, all over the place. Because there's a place in Indianapolis, too, that me and Jason found. And
Jeff Foster
is absolutely
credit where credit's due. Magic Judge Jeff Foster actually found Sushi Club.
I just like to call him a professional traveler.
Yeah, seems legitimate.
Yeah,
but I mean, either way,
definitely Jeff.
We managed to be. I don't remember who I went with the first time. It must have been that. I thought I had been there before that group, but maybe not. Either way, that place was awesome. Hockey Sushi was awesome. That seems to be a thing. So if you see any places that look like they're made out of an old Pizza Hut and they're an all-you-can-eat sushi place. bets are, it might actually be good.
You should check Yelp and find out if you're going to get food poisoning.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
It was so good, we went for dinner, and then the next morning we went for lunch before we left.
Yeah, you guys are crazy. I couldn't do that.
I couldn't leave without going back a second time. It was that good.
Hungry.
What? Oh, you weren't that hungry?
No. Don't you remember I just sat there and didn't eat? You guys were like, you sure you don't want food? I ended up getting some ice cream. Like, I seriously was still stuffed from the night before.
Yeah, I normally deal that well. My body actually deals with waste to make room for more food. I don't just eat all the meals I'm ever going to eat and then I'm done.
I mean, I don't either. However, I wanted to give myself more than like 4 hours to process it or however long it was between. Feels like we went there as soon as we woke up and we're there right before we went to bed, so.
I don't get it.
Shut up, Corbin.
Well, we've come a long way in the past 100 episodes, and I think we've obviously learned quite a bit from where we started. You know, that said, I think you can always improve, and we have some things in mind that we think will, you know, maybe take us to the next level. We want to be able to help more people make the episodes be a little more timeless rather than just, you know, this is the cards to buy this week. So we're going to introduce some things that we think will kind of, you know, take us in that direction. Jason, do you want to talk about, you know, Finance 101, which is kind of our big initiative here going forward?
So we've get a lot of good feedback from fans. I love interacting with our fans, reading the emails, you know, the Facebook messages, the tweets, bricks with notes taped on them thrown through our window. Like any way people get a hold of me, I just love interacting and answering questions. Every once in a while, we'll get people asking us questions that are like, I've been listening since episode 75. And then they'd be like, but I have this question, and that was something we covered earlier. Or it was something that we consider like, oh, this is so obvious because we've been doing this for years. You know, how does everyone not know this? So we think that it won't insult people's intelligence if they've been listening to us, you know, the whole time. If we kind of go back over some of the basics, the stuff that you really need to know to, you know, to make money or not spend too much money at MTG Finance. You know, people that know this stuff could use a refresher. People here that just are just tuning into the podcast and hearing it for the first time will get a benefit of it. I really think that if we kind of take a more like Finance 101 approach and cover the basics and do something every week for maybe 5-10 minutes that everybody should know just to make sure that it's out there, that's really going to bring our podcast to the next level. So starting at episode 101, we're going to launch a new segment simply titled Finance 101, and it's going to go over that basic stuff that we think everybody should know and we think is absolutely vital, and that's the kind of information that we think you guys will want to listen to.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, obviously we're, you know, we want to make this for you guys, so tell us what you want to hear. I mean, do you want to hear about buy listing? Do you want to hear about how to handle rotation? Do you want to hear about buying collections? What is the those basic things you feel like everyone should know that maybe you want to know about or that you do know about and you just think that everyone should know. So let us know what you want to hear, and we will, you know, we're here for you guys.
And a shout out to Elias Scott. He was a guest on our cast, and he gave us basically the spark, the initiative in us to try to get this going. And he gave us a good list of stuff to go off of. So we got some good stuff to start off, but please send in some more ideas and what you guys are looking for, because we're excited about doing this in the future.
And another thing we want to do, you know, we love the fact that we can make tokens and get the tokens out to you guys. I know people enjoy playing with them. We really enjoy the process of getting the art made for them and picking out the artists and getting to make them and get them out there. It's a lot of fun. You know, we want to do everything we can to connect with everyone out there listening. So we also, I know sometimes we go back and do mailbag episodes and I'm like, okay, well, here's an email I have from 2 years ago. Well, we're going to commit to a reader email a week. So if you email us, I promise you will not have to wait 6 months to have your email read and answered on the air. So if you have those questions, send them our way, and we will make sure that we take care of it.
Also, like, mailbag episodes sound kind of phoned in, so we think it works better as a 5-minute discreet segment than it does as an entire episode where if you're not at all interested in that, you know, you'd have to slog through all of it.
You didn't just promise that we'd read every letter ever sent to us on the air, did you?
I promise. Well, you know, a lot of times if we get duplicate emails, where a lot of people have the same question, we'll choose one that represents it. I think the important thing is that people have their general questions answered with what we can do. I mean, you know, we can't always devote
forever to give you advice on, you know, personalized advice on your situation, your exact cards and their condition and, you know, everything that goes into it. But what we can do is answer a reader email a week and try to take those that represent the concerns of the community as a whole.
So yeah, I mean, that seems like pretty much a good sum up of the, you know, past 100 episodes. Not only have we grown as a podcast, but personally as well. And just want to take the moment, you know, we do a lot of shout outs in the cast and thank you guys for actually, you know, dealing with me, I guess, and bringing Jason on and just all of the good things that have happened over the past year, not only to us individually, but as the podcast and things like Vegas that we'll never forget. And also to the fans, because meeting people in person and having someone come up to you and not just want advice, but, you know, want to actually have a conversation with you because they've known you through this podcast and they get to know you in that way is really awesome to me. And I will never lose that. And I hope that, you know, in another 100 episodes, I have the same fervor about it that I do now and appreciate that.
I mean, I have something to say in that, you know, I just really want to thank you guys for being here every week, as, you know, I learn something new every week here, podcasting. And I know everyone puts a lot of time into this outside of their otherwise busy lives. And, you know, I appreciate that we are given the opportunity to do this every week. I appreciate that people, you know, seem to put up with listening to us on the air. And I've learned a lot from this, and I think found my place in the Magic community, you know, some more. So crazy to think that it's 2 years, but it's been a great ride, and I'm looking forward to the next 2 years of it.
Well, it's been 100 great episodes, I guess 90 great episodes for me. I'd like to thank you guys for bringing me on. I still kind of feel like the new guy 2 years later, but I don't think that's ever going to go away. I'd like to thank the fans. Every week, the fans give me more reasons to want to keep doing this. Thanks for listening. Thanks for going to our website, buying our merch, sending us wacky emails, asking us for advice. Everything you've done to interact with us has made this just totally worth doing. It's been an amazing experience, and I wouldn't give this up for anything. So thanks to everyone, both my co-hosts for giving me a chance, and to all the listeners for supporting us. And please support us for another 100-plus episodes.
I'd like to thank everyone, too. I'd like to thank you guys, first of all. Like, this wouldn't be a podcast without you guys. You say I do all the editing, but I wouldn't have any content. Definitely no finance stuff, really. It's here and there, but not nearly like what you guys got. You guys are the traders. You guys provide the content. You guys are the talent. I just make it all work. But and I do like to thank the fans, like, just their fervor behind Brainstorm Brewery, and, you know, how much that, you know, we impact them and how much they like listening to us, you know, like I really enjoy that, you know, it feels good. And that feedback is really what makes it all, you know, part of the enjoyment while I do this. It's not like we get paid and we can make a living off of what we do. We do this because, you know, we want to be here for the community and fulfilling that role. So, you know, I look forward to doing this. I mean, I consider you guys brothers, and I like what we're doing, and I don't see no reason to change. So looking forward to the next 100.
Well, guys, before we go, one more thing for everyone at home, and that is some of the best clips that did not make it into the podcast. So enjoy these while you wait for next week. Beautiful. I'm keeping it classy with a Bud Light Lime, as usual. Jason's
favorite. Why even open your mouth?
Hey,
man, you say you asked the question. Some people like Bud Light Lime.
You are classy if you drink water, you know. There's a certain level of it.
Yeah,
I'm okay. So that makes me not as trashy then. I thought I was going to be the worst one drinking a green tea with no alcohol, but I guess Corbin wins.
You're fired from the brewery.
Yeah, man.
You're not drinking on your lunch break.
I got 4% alcohol on these beers, okay? This is Oklahoma where we make our beer like piss.
Great. You sound proud of that.
Like, yeah, like.
Yeah. I think that sarcasm didn't come across very
you hoity-toity Yankees with your greater than 4% beer and your dental care.
And so he got his name and likeliness, or likely.
Likeness,
thank you.
Ryan's learning new vocabulary. We have a word a day calendar.
Yay,
the day for Ryan is likeliness.
Likeliness.
The likeliness of Ryan correctly pronouncing likeness is very low today.
Yeah, okay, so we want to jump into what's it worth here?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna shotgun going last, because I've got a special one.
Oh, why don't you shotgun going first, because some of us might not have one locked and loaded at all.
True story.
There you go. I don't have one at all.
Corbin, go first. For once, you can be the first one to do something. All
right. Are you ready for this one? This is older, like 10 plus years here, and it is a 12 ounce can of Surge.
Oh, come on. This is not a magical crab.
Get this out of here.
Soda Finance.
You're off the podcast.
Don't know. This was a little bit of the Soda Finance hashtag going on Twitter the other day because, believe it or not, a 12-ounce can of Surge, which was a terrible soft drink made 10, 15 years ago, sells on eBay for $100 a can.
I was going to say, Corbin, you actually told me the number less than an hour ago, and I don't remember because that's a little care about your Soda Finance.
Soda Finance, $100 for a can of soda. 10 years ago, you could have bought a lot of Magic cards, but you wouldn't have made anything like the return you would have made on a 12-ounce can of Surge.
Not true.
I don't know that's correct because Underground C's were $15 10 years ago.
You know, I'm just disappointed when we upped the ante on that. Nobody came through with more Russian followers for you.
You know why? Because that probably cost money, and whoever you erased them all was like, oh, my God.
We can't even get our listeners to buy a T-shirt for themselves. They're not going to buy fake followers for me. That's a bad value.
I almost bought you fake followers just to troll you. But
how much would it cost?
When you get into a fake follower war, if you bought 1,000 for me, I would buy 5,000 for you, and this would turn into an arms race.
Oh,
how much do they cost?
Like $5 per 1,000, right?
That's it?
They're like bulk.
$5 per 1,000 for Russian followers?
Yeah.
The amount of
can
annoyance.
Can I get like 3 of those? 3 orders of that?
And I look forward to telling Corbin to shut up in his natural environment.
Shut up, Corbin.
I guess I'm the lame one out. I don't really have anything exciting that I'm drinking tonight.
You drinking water, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Is it sex in a canoe or is it water?
No, I'm actually currently drinking a Baja Blast from Taco Bell, because that was what my dick was. Very unexciting, but water as well.
Sex in a canoe is what we call Bud Light or Miller Light or anything like that.
Because it's fucking near water.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you.
Someone knows. Oh, beautiful.
Thank you, Jason.
It wasn't just you. It's actually usually Corbin because we try and get him to set up things, and we know that he can't work anything that involves a computer or technology in general.
Hey, his hamster wheel stopped. Yeah, how can he run his computer without his hamsters?
I know. I'm surprised we don't lose him in the middle of the cast, except for this one.
Hey, if someone cuts the line to the tin can, he can't communicate.
I know. Well,
so it's a hard world out there for Corbin.
Yep, for anyone who hasn't figured it out by now, the tin can line has indeed been cut for today. There is no internet to Oklahoma this week, and so therefore we do not have access to Corbin. Do we actually know what is wrong with him?
You literally called it right there. Like, they literally cut the line to the tin can, and we just can't get a connection.
Okay.
It says right here on Skype. It says right here. The line.
Unfortunately, Corbin doesn't know that. He's screaming into a tin can right now.
Yeah, he's trying to communicate.
Hello, can you guys hear me? Buy mutilates, hello?
Don't waste your dollars on mutilates, go to B-dubs.
So where are your show notes?
They're up.
Come on, Oki. You gotta link them, man.
Oh, God.
You can't just make them. They're on my computer screen, I can say them.
Douchebags, find it, it's in the chat.
Hang on, guys, what's your fax machine number?
I gotta write this down. That will be part of the cast.
What will be part of the cast? My crack about the fax machine?
Yeah.
Hey, it should be the beginning of the cast.
Or when it was, somehow it's gonna get fit in there.
Fair. So I was like, I'm gonna make that shit happen.
I actually hope I don't day two the GP Vegas.
I got way too much shit to do.
I don't want a day two. I want to play 2 really good rounds and lose 2 very close rounds and then go drink my ass off and find something to do in Vegas.
Some of that won't be a problem. Losing, I think you got under control.
Yeah, I think you got that hand.
Bitch, please, what's the last thing you top aided?
Did you say bitch, please, or fish, please? Because
bitch, please. Either one works.
Fish, please.
I top aided Return to Rafiki game day.
There are 8 people.
How'd you do it States?
I didn't play.
Oh my God, don't ride that. You're Al Bundy of the States.
No, in all fairness, I never mention it. I'm just saying, he can't call me terrible and then have nothing to back it up with.
I think we drafted and played against each other.
Okay, so yeah, now we gotta have
Sam Black. I don't want to hear about it.
I beat you, Ryan. You and I played, and you lost.
Yeah, my deck was terrible.
Okay.
Oh, this is fun. I'm glad that this is gonna end up on the cast.
You know what, Jay? Just shut up. You know what? You get the hell out of here. You're gonna make what? A new t-shirt. Shut up, Jason.
What? I'm not some sort of Corbin you can just tell to shut up. I won't stand for this.
All right.
I can defend myself verbally.
Let's move on.
Yeah, but you got T-Rex arms. You can't fight.
Oh. Wow, oh. Bringing the fact up I can't buy shirts off the rack. That's harsh.
Everyone is, everyone's arguing this week. Nobody's happy.
We don't like each other. It's because M14 is so bad. Some Manner of Fury of the Horde deck.
Mirror Retriever Heartless Summoning is actually pretty funny.
Right?
I mean, it's a turn four kill if you draw three.
It's turn four.
Because when you like do it on turn three, you don't have mana to cast your Grave Shot.
Heartless Summoning on two, free Mirror Retriever on three.
Oh yeah.
Three.
Oh yeah.
Zero manas. Yeah.
It's a three mana. It's a three card. Yeah, make fun of me.
It's not a merfolk. Corbin doesn't understand how.
Your three card. No. Deck manipulation.
Ryan,
there's plenty of deck manipulation. Deck are you smoking crack? I have Demir Infiltrator in there, which finds all of your combo pieces. You have Is It Charm, you have Faithless Looting, and Desperate Ravings. So shut up.
Serum Visions.
Serum Visions eats dicks. Doesn't
you should
let
have
you
Serum Visions instead of fuck. If that's your combo, then fuck Fury of the Horde.
No, play them both.
Yeah, why not?
Most
speaking of merfolk, Corbin won't be joining us tonight. Somebody cut the binder twine between the tin cans again. I think it was a snowplow, actually, somewhere in the Midwest. So sorry about that. Fortunately, there was a merfolk deck that top-8ed, and nobody will be here to talk about it. So that's a good thing.
I think what happened, actually, is you know Corbin got a new house, so they didn't install the binder twine on his new house yet. So
he's waiting for the binder twine guy to show up between the hours of 9 a.m. and 8 p.m. tomorrow.
I hear that can take forever to get that rewired out to the road. I mean, don't most of them live like 4 miles back in the woods?
Oh, man, that's one hell of a job I don't want.
Yeah, no kidding. Binder twine installer?
Especially for a barefooted binder twine installer.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awful.
Just imagine all the time you'd be getting shots. People would be like, get off my land. Get away.
Just trying to install your binder twine. I don't want none of that newfangled binder twine around here.
What's wrong with the dental floss I already got?
Corbin.
We're on the cast right now. We've been recording for half an hour.
Are we actually recording?
Of course, we're always recording.
We're always recording.
I mean, is this the cast? It's always up to ourselves.
Is it not the cast?
Yeah, I mean, which pill did you take? Did you take the red pill or the blue pill?
Crap. I don't remember. I'm colorblind.
That would add a whole new dimension to that movie.
Being colorblind?
Yes.
That'd be really awkward.
I thought you was the like, chosen one, Neo, but you took the red pill. Oh, fuck, that was the red pill. That's my Keanu Reeves. It's just a guy who sounds really confused.
Whoa. I have no idea for podcasting right now.
Based on recent unsolicited feedback from listeners, we are making some changes to the format of the podcast. This episode will be the start of the new format for Brainstorm Brewery. Enjoy.
This is Brainstorm Brewery, episode 95. I'm Marcel, along with my co-hosts, Corbin, Ryan, and Jason. So we're going to start off with reading the winners from MTG Stocks this week. Jason, what are the top 5 cards for this week?
The top 5 weekly winners on MTGStocks.com for the last week are as follows. Autumn Willow is up 197.4%. Negate is up 116.8%. Teferi's Puzzle Box from 6th edition is up 66.0%. Teferi's Puzzle Box from 8th edition is up 57.4%. Ancient Tomb from the Vault Lands is up 41.5%. That concludes the weekly winners.
We also had losers of the week. Corbin, do you want to read off the losers for this week?
I will do that. The losers this week are Grave Pact from 8th edition, which is down 21.8%. In the Eye of Chaos, a rare from Legends, is down 16.2%. Old Man of the Sea from Arabian Nights is down 13.6%. Ghostly Prison and Myocloth are both down 10% this week.
Thank you, Corbin. Thank you for that reading. Now let's move into Picks of the Week.
Time for the Pick of the Week.
So I want to talk about my Pick of the Week. My Pick of the Week is Time Walk. It's on a reserved list, and the way that prices are going is only going to go up. So I would pick up Time Walk.
My pick of the week is Food Chain. Food Chain was recently featured as four copies in a deck that was top eight of an SCG Open. I think that deck is very good, and that's why it got top eight of an SCG Open. You should definitely buy Food Chain.
My pick of the week is Master of the Pearl Trident, because I like Merfolk.
And my pick of the week is Foil Shamble Shark, because I'm buying them all. It's something I've proven, so that I can move the market by buying a ton of something.
So we're going to move on into a new segment. This is a segment that a lot of people ask us. If they had a certain amount of money, what would we buy? So Jason, you're going to start us off. If you had $20, what would you buy with that $20?
I would buy two Astral Cornucopia, four copies of Chromatic Lantern. I would buy five copies of Prophet of Krufix, and I would buy seven copies of Temple of Malice.
That seems like all of those will probably go up. Interesting, Jason. What about you, Corbin? What would you do if you had $100? What would you buy?
I would buy 20 copies of Silvergill Adept, because people play Merfolk, and I like Merfolk.
That's a solid point. Let's move on to our financial guru, Ryan. What would you do if you had $1,000 to spend? What would you buy?
I would go out and find a nice $800 collection, count my profits, go buy some steak, maybe a couple packs of cigarettes and a case of beer.
That sounds like all value right there.
Ryan, nobody wants to hear about what you would eat or drink if you had $200 extra.
That's true. But you know what people do want to hear about? People want to hear about the price of dual lands, because dual lands are going up at a steady pace, and everybody should know this.
I think that they will continue to go up at a steady pace.
I have no argument there, and there's no reason to continue on this conversation. So thank you. Tune in next week. This is Brainstorm Brewery.
Goodbye!
Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.
Ryan going, shut up, Corbin. Blah.